34. It's a privilege to be back with you. It's wonderful to have the visitors this morning who came and get to meet them and shake their hand and so forth. Hope they come back. But you're here tonight, and God has something for us in this service. Do you pray that God will speak to your heart before preaching? I mean, that's what we want. We came to hear from heaven. Not to hear and not do, but to hear and do what we hear to do. All right, Psalm 34 and verse 17. Verse 17, follow this now. The righteous cry, amen. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The word cry sometimes means to call loudly, to call out loudly. It means to shout in order to gain attention. That's one definition of it. It could be that that's what he's speaking of here. But at other times, it means to utter sounds about the scripture for us where we can cry out to God in desperation, and he will hear us. The Bible uses the word cry or cries over 400 times, many times speaking of his people crying out to him. Tonight we want to look at three questions regarding crying out to God as I preach on this topic. When in trouble, cry out to God. When in trouble, when you face trouble, cry out to God. Let's bow for prayer. We'll begin. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, now thank you for these saints of God, faithful. I mean, faithful. We were here a couple years ago, and here they are, and we expected to see them, and we're not disappointed with their faithfulness, Lord. On a Sunday night, they're here, likely tomorrow, Tuesday and Wednesday, if they're able. And I pray, Father, that you will bless each believer here. There are things that we continue to learn and you continue to work on us about, and truths that we find out about that we can implement in our lives. And here's one of them tonight, crying out to you. I pray, O Lord, that we'll have a heart to receive, ears to hear, and help us to implement truths that you give us, and this truth on crying out in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, three questions, and that's our message. Who can cry out to God? Scripturally, who is it that can cry out to God? Who qualifies? Who does God say has access? Who ought to cry out to God? Well, the Bible gives us specifics on who cried out to God in the scripture. And one of them is found in Exodus 3 and verse 7. And he uses this phrase, my people cry out. In Exodus 3, 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry. My people are able to cry out to me. In other words, by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. God's people in every age can cry out to him. We have access to God to cry out. We don't have to put up with all kinds of frustration and tumult and facing our problems. We have access. The problem is we don't always access the help that we need. And we don't get serious and desperate enough to cry out to God. And I want to show you some promises about crying out in just a few minutes. But before you claim that you are one of his people, be careful. For you to be one of his people, you must have at one moment in time have repented of your sins and trusted Christ alone to save your soul. And if you've done that, then you are one of God's people with access to cry out. And if you haven't done that, then you do not have that access except to cry out to God to save your soul. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so Psalm 34:17, the righteous cry. That's normal that we should cry out to God. He says it like, if you're righteous, you ought to cry out to God. Not righteous in our own selves. Someone said, well, I don't want to bother God. You know, that sounds good. But he wants to be in the loop. Now, God already knows, right? God is omniscient. He already knows. But he wants us to talk to him. And so he wants to be bothered. It's one of the privileges of his people to bother him, to cry out. Psalm 145, verse 19. Psalm 145 and verse 19. And if you can, I encourage you to look up the scriptures, because it's the scriptures that make the difference and will convince us. 145:19, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. In the New Testament, Luke 18 and verse 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect, that's you and me, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Don't feel like you have to have faith if you cry out more than once. That's all right. In the scripture, they cried out day and night to God, and God heard them. And so, I won't trouble God with my problems. No, but you'll complain to others about them. I won't bother God with it. No, but you'll call everybody in the church directory and tell them about it and burden them down. No, I won't trouble God, but you'll sit and fester and get bitter that there's no answer and that there's no end to your trouble. Ladies and gentlemen, this is simple. You've been studying the book of James, is that right? James 4:2. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. We have access to the Heavenly Father, almighty, all-powerful, right? He can do anything, right? Our faith is in him, right? And so we have access to cry out to him whenever we have a problem. Why aren't we doing that more? Because we have plenty of problems. I'm not going to go in the direction of getting bitter toward God. I don't want to go in the direction of just complaining about my problems. Not when he's invited me to cry out to him. How about you? I'm going to live a joyful life. I'm not going to have sour grapes under my tongue all the time. I'm just not going to do it because I don't have to do it. I can be joyful. I can be content. I can be fulfilled. And when trouble comes, I cry out to God. That's what we have to do, is cry out to him. I mean, God, it's me again. I need some help. Shirley and I used to sing a song, something like that. It's me again, Lord. I've got a prayer that needs an answer. It's me again, Lord. I've got a problem that I can't solve. Now, I don't mean to worry you, but here I am facing something new, and I need help that only comes from you. It's me again, Lord. How many of you ever heard that song? One. Boy, that's a good one. Resurrect that. That's a gospel song. Sometimes crying out is out loud. Sometimes. Sometimes it's tearful as we're crying out. Sometimes it's sorrowful. It can be emotional as we become desperate. It's always in earnest. Consider it your privilege to cry out to God. Now, who is it that should cry out? Well, first of all, his people. He said, my people cry out. Then, in 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 11, leaders ought to cry out to God, because leaders have a lot of burdens and a lot of things come up, and there's a lot of challenges for leaders. And there's leaders all over this building in one way or another, and leaders have access to cry out to God. And we find the example of it in 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 11. Asa was a king of Judah, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether by with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. Thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. Verse 12. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Man, he cried out to God, and I mean, God came on the scene, and he answered his prayer. Well, who was Asa? He was a leader. In this instance, Ethiopia had them outnumbered 4-1. It was 1.3 million of them against 300,000 from Judah. And his soldiers would be slaughtered. And he didn't want that to happen. He cared for his country. And so what could he do as a leader? They're outnumbered. Well, he could cry out to God. Sometimes in our lives, situations arise where we feel outnumbered. Sometimes it looks like there's just no answer to this. I'm perplexed. And we just mull it over, and we try to exercise our brain to think it through and how we can solve it, when all the time we have access to the one who can solve it, the Almighty. If we would just cry out to him, he's waiting for us to do it. 2 Chronicles 18, it was King Jehoshaphat that cried out. Second Chronicles 32, it was King Hezekiah who cried to heaven. And of course, that would be to God. Listen, these weren't leaders in the church, but they were godly leaders. And so I believe it would work. I believe it would work today if leaders would cry out to God. We don't have any problem. Reach that one that you're trying to reach. I believe if we cry out to God, God would hear it. And we could reach them. How about our government and our country? Oh my, that's a mountain. That's a whole other story. No, it's not to God. It's not a mystery to God. God knows what he's doing, and we have access to cry out to him. And we ought to be using it. If only leaders would cry out to God, the God of heaven, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If God has placed you in a position of authority and you believe God and you face some trouble, you have an answer in your tool chest of what to do. And that answer is get on your knees or get alone with God and cry out to him and see what he'll do. Tell him all about it. Tell him that you believe that he will come on the scene in your behalf because he has all power. Who ought to cry out to God? Well, the strangers and the widows and the fatherless in the scripture. Look at Exodus 22:23. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, cry at all, I will surely hear their cry. What a blessed promise. Why? It's because you may be without a home or be without a mate or without parents. And God says, you won't be without me. You can't go maybe to your parents or your mate anymore. I mean, you may not have money to go and get what you want, but you can have access to God by crying out to Him. And we ought to. It's available for you and it's available for me. These three are vulnerable, unprotected categories. And so God says that He will be their protector if they cry out, the stranger and the widow and the fatherless. But we have to understand our privileges. And we only do that as we study this wonderful book, the Bible. So if you're a stranger, widow, fatherless, and life becomes frustrating, you feel vulnerable, taken advantage of perhaps, when life feels like it's spinning out of control, you have a resource to cry out to God. And He said, I will surely hear their cry. This is a certainty. This is a slam dunk. It's a never fail. All right? And the last category I want to give you tonight, who should cry out to God, is the poor. The poor ought to cry out to God. Deuteronomy 24 and verse 15. 24:15. At His day, thou shalt give him his hire. Neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor and setteth his heart upon it, lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be sin unto thee. So the poor have standing to be able to cry out to God. Psalm 34 gives an example of somebody who did that. Psalm 34:6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble. So when things look impossible financially, when it looks impossible domestically, God has open doors for us to cry out to Him. And He's probably wondering in heaven, how come you aren't availing yourself of this if you aren't? And so the answer to the question is, who can and should cry out? His people should. Leaders ought to. Widows, strangers, fatherless, and poor ought to cry out to God. That pretty well takes care of all of us, amen? We who are saved. All right, question number two tonight. In what situations should we cry out to God? What are the situations? Well, we have examples in the scriptures. And so we ought to look at them. Psalm 34, verse 17. We ought to cry out to Him in trouble. When we are in trouble, cry out. It says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The righteous cry. That's pretty broad. All their troubles. In 1990, I had just received the call to become the pastor at Brogue, Pennsylvania, Mount Zion Baptist Church, and a pastor for 23 and a half years. But I just received the call, so now we're moving, and we're moving in stages. I'm going down first alone, and then I'll get a bus, come back, and we'll get a moving truck and everything, and we'll move all the rest of it. But first, I had to get one of my cars down there and my boat. Well, we fish on Lake Erie, and I had a 15-foot runabout aluminum boat. And so when my boat trailer wheel fell off on the way to Brogue, about 500 miles, in downtown Akron, Ohio, on the interstate, December 23rd, 1990. I remember the day because Christmas was coming on Sunday, and it was Friday. And I was on my way to moving. I didn't know what to do. Mechanic, I am not. But here's this wheel just wobbling and finally falling off. I didn't know what to do. I took the wheel off, and I cried out to God. I said, God, it's the 23rd of right before Christmas. You know, everybody's shopping. Nobody's available. How in the world am I going to get this fixed? And I drove off the interstate, left my boat there with one wheel. I didn't figure anybody's going to steal it. And I went into the inner city, and I got in there, and I stopped and asked, is there somebody that knows how to weld that could fix this wheel? And so they directed me to a place, and man, oh man, it was a little scary area. But I figured that I cried to God, God's going to direct me, and he's directed me to this place. So I went down there in that neighborhood, and they said, what are you doing? And I said, well, I just became the pastor in Pennsylvania at a church. And he said, oh, well, Reverend, come on in here. That's how they always say Reverend. Reverend, come on in here and let us fix you up. And don't you know, in probably a half an hour, I was walking out of there with my tire. And he said, no, I won't take anything. I said, I want to give you something for your time. And I gave him something. And I went back, put the wheel on, drove on down the road. Had a little more trouble in Pittsburgh, cried out to God. We got it figured out, went on down the road. Had more trouble right before I got to the church. Called one of the deacons. And I said, Lord, you just have to get me there. I mean, I'm within 15 miles of my destination, please. It's getting dark. And he came out, and it all worked, and we got moved in. And you can cry out to God in your trouble. And I know it firsthand. When I was going broke, keeping two houses. So now we had a house in Ohio. We moved to Brogue. We had a payment there. And of my soul, I had more money going out than I had coming in. I said, Lord, this can't continue, can't sell the house out there in Ohio. And we cried out to God, God, you got to do something. You have to come on the scene, God. Please, we're crying out to you. Please come on the scene. Don't you know, it wasn't very long, and that house in Ohio sold, and we were out from underneath it and back to one payment. Praise the Lord. When one of our children broke our hearts and ran away from home, we cried out to God and cried out about what to do. And it was just like he was dictating to me what to do. It was amazing as I look back on it today. God can intervene in all of these troubles that we have. When we were on our way to the hospital and Jenny called on her cell phone, Jenny's my daughter-in-law, my son is our pastor, and but he was my youth pastor then, and Jenny said, she's gone. Our granddaughter of 16 months just died, and we're on the way to the hospital, but we couldn't get there in time, and she's gone. We cried out to God like we have never cried out to God. When you have sorrow, let me tell you ahead of time, you will cry out. It was the first time I ever sensed what wailing really was when we lost our granddaughter. We were in trouble. And there were many other times when we faced trouble. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. Jonah cried from the whale's belly. Even in the whale's belly, they had reception in heaven. I like that. I have so much trouble traveling and trying to get reception. Up there in Chalice, they put us in a place, real nice place. We had internet, but no reception on the cell phone. People are calling me, hello, hello. They're saying, hello, we can't hear you. And you know how that goes. But they had reception in the whale's belly that day. He was in trouble, and he cried out to God. Listen, we always have reception when we cry out to God. There'll never be a time he won't hear. I wonder if you're in any trouble tonight. Wonder if you're facing something. Maybe nobody here knows that you're facing it, but God does. The answer is for you to cry out to God. That's what the Bible says. Crying out to God in desperation, earnestness, maybe with emotion. Not only in trouble, times of trouble, but there's another time that we can cry out to God, and that's when we face a fearful situation. Fearful situation. That may be your trouble, a fearful situation, but there are other fearful situations. Romans 8 and verse 15. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. I love that. But ye have received I should say, ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We're crying out. We have that access. We don't have fear. We don't dwell on fear. When fear comes knocking on our door, we don't have to sit there and take it. We have access to break that fear. And we can cry out to Abba Father, and he can help us. Matthew 14:26 of Matthew. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear, the Bible says. They cried out for fear. God's not given his children a spirit of fear. But we can overcome it by crying out. Cry out when you're in a storm, therefore, in your life. Cry out. Cry out when you're very, very sick. You have access to do that. We had a lady in our church, and every time a storm was coming, she would get very fearful. And she's in heaven today, but I would call her if it was really bad and try to calm her down and remind her, remember, Ms. Trump, you can call out to God. Call out to God and cry out to him. You can cry out to God when you get a bad report. Boy, there's a lot of bad reports today. You can cry out. We can cry out to God when disaster seems sure. You can cry out when there's a fear of thieves or vandals and you don't feel safe. You have access to cry out to God. We were in Fort Worth, Texas, in a meeting. The pastor didn't have a place to park our motorhome, and so he parked us at another church. We didn't, therefore, have a key to the church like you gave us. We didn't have access to get inside. Well, in Texas, they have tornadoes in the middle of the night. How crazy is that? You can't tell when they're coming other than by the weather band. So we knew the weather forecast that night wasn't too good. We're in a motor home, okay? That's not where you want to be in a tornado. And so we heard the alarm. We have a weather band. The alarm went off about 2:30 in the morning. And I mean, everything went crazy. The fire alarm locally went off. There's all kinds of noise. The wind's picking up. The trees are swirling. And I'm thinking, my soul, it's going to just take us all right on to heaven right now. Shirley and I rolled out of bed and rolled on the floor, pulled the mattress over us to protect us. I don't know. And we cried out to God away. And ripped a roof off a house and did a lot of damage. But God spared us. He doesn't have to spare us. He doesn't always choose to spare us. But when we cried out, he spared us. The first year we were out on the road, I gave up my salary, went on the road, and didn't know how that was all going to work financially. And in August, after 1 year on the road, we went in September. Now it's 11 months. We had done all right up to that point. But in August, for the first time, we couldn't pay our bills. The offerings, we had a couple of low offerings and one cancellation. And I told Shirley about it. I said, I went to pay the bills, and there wasn't enough money to pay all the bills. And That'll throw you. All of a sudden you wonder, am I doing the right thing here or what's going on? And I remember we went back to the bedroom and we spread it before the Lord. And we cried out to God. Because he's our source. I get a phone call the next day from a pastor. And he said, you know, when you were here, the Lord won't let me away from this. We didn't give you enough. He said, I've got a check for you for $500 more. And there was one more. I can't remember what the fourth one was. There were four things that happened. And when those four things were done, we had more than enough to pay our bills. But we cry out to God when we have trouble and fearful times. And so I encourage you to avail yourself of this. Cry out to God in your battles. We do have battles as believers. 1 Chronicles 20, or 5 and verse 20. 1 Chronicles 5. And they were helped against them, and the Hagarites were delivered into their hand, and all that were with them, for they cried to God in the battle. They cried to God in their battle, and he was entreated of them because they put their trust in him. Oh, he likes it when we put our trust in him and cry out. In our battles, there's help. The biggest battle that we face every day is the temptation from the devil and the world and the flesh. And the devil wants us to do things his way, not God's way. And the flesh wants us to do things our way and give in to the lust, not God's way. And the world wants us to compromise to do things their way because of our pride and the peer pressure and not do them God's way. Everybody wants to get us to do things not God's way. But you can cry out to God in your battles, and he can give you a victory. You having trouble in a battle right now in your life? In your spiritual walk, I'm talking about. You can have victory. Cry out to God. He'll give you that victory. Cry out means you really want that victory. Cry out means you're desperate. Cry out means you're sick of losing that battle, and you want to win that battle. Then you cry out to God about that battle. All right. Another time a believer can cry out to God is when he realizes that he's backslidden. In 1 Samuel 12 and verse 10. 1 Samuel 12 verse 10. This will be the last one we'll look at in this section. Go to the last question. When you realize you're backslidden, you can cry out. 1 Samuel 12, 10. And they cried unto the Lord and said, "We have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee." Maybe that's where God finds you tonight in this service, in your life. Do you need to cry out? Because somehow or other, you've let it happen again where you've let your strength and your walk with God ooze out. And you need to get that back and get strong again. Then I encourage you to come tonight and start the business of crying out to God and have victory in that area. All right? The final question. What result can we expect when we cry out to God? What can we expect? Some of those have already been answered. But number one, God will hear our cry and save us, deliver us. In Psalm 145:19, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry, there it is, and will save them. Exodus 2:23. I'm repeating every verse twice because I have trouble hearing all of it when I'm out there and somebody else is preaching. And I always wish they'd do it twice, so I do it. Exodus 2:23 and 24. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of their bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of their bondage. So they're crying out to God. And verse 24, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and with Jacob. And verse 25, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. He heard them. He's delivering them, and we know how that ended up too. And so Psalm 34 and verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. So the Lord hears. What result can we expect? We can expect that he's not going to turn a deaf ear to us when we cry out to him. He's going to hear, and when he hears, he will come on the scene and save us or deliver us, whatever we're praying about. All right, secondly, God will make his presence known when we cry out to him. And boy, we need this. Isaiah 58, verse 9. Isaiah 58, 9. Then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. And the verse goes on from there. Here am I. I'm here. You cried and you didn't cry into thin air. And you didn't cry and it reached no farther than the ceiling. I'm here. I heard you. Wonderful when he assures us that he is there when we're crying out to him and we're facing things. A third result is God will move the enemies to leave. He'll move them to leave. That's what happened with Asa. He cried out to the Lord in 2 Chronicles 14 and verse 11 and in verse 12. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa, and the Ethiopians fled. They moved. They got out of his way. He didn't see them anymore. 2 Chronicles 18, 31. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, it is the king of Israel, which was not, he's not the king of Israel, but the king of Israel set him up. Therefore, they compassed him to fight, but Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. He could move them to depart. Luke 18:7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? In the Bible, if God moved the enemy when God's people cried out to him, he could do it again today. He did it for us, them. He can do it for us. He's the same today. He's no respecter of persons. And so he'll move your enemies, move them away. He will avenge you. He'll smite your enemies. 1997, the government came against our church, Mount Zion Baptist Church. And they came down with an edict that now they want to control all water sources in York County. And they want to put a GPS reader so that they can control our water supply, whether it comes on or not or whatever. And so I contacted them and I said, no, we're not going to have your GPS. And I was kind, but I said, no, we don't want that GPS. We don't need it. You don't need it. And we're not going to have that. Yes, and this was their argument. But we've contacted all the churches in York County, and none of them have had a problem with it. And I said, well, we have a problem with it. And we don't want it. And so I made a plea to him to stop, don't pursue this anymore. And then I went to the church. And I said, listen, we are the Lord's church. And we can go to the Lord and cry out to him. And when we cry out to him, the Bible is clear, he will hear. And if he hears, then he'll save us and he can move this enemy out of our way. And so we began to fast and pray and seek God. It wasn't a week. And they called and they said, we were looking at your situation and you were right. In your situation, we don't need a GPS on your water supply, and we just wanted to call and notify you that you can disregard the former letter. Woo! Man, oh man, almost became Baptist-costal right there. I have Pentecostal in my background, so it wouldn't be a far stretch. The question is, have you cried out to him for help? See, we're not turning things over to God that God invites us to do. God will show you the answer. Another result, he'll show you the answer for what you're facing. Exodus 15:25, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. They have bitter water, remember that? And the Lord showed him, when he cried out, the Lord showed Moses a tree, which when he had cast into the waters, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Amen. They didn't have to put up with the bitter waters. because God showed them an answer when they cried out to him. You have a perplexing decision to make or problem to solve. Here's the answer to it. Get on your knees before God and cry out and say, God, this is bigger than me, but it's not bigger than you. And take it to him, and he'll show you the answer. God, another result. God can send an angel if needs be, which he did in Numbers 20 and verse 16. And when we cried unto the Lord, there it is, cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel. Now, angels are powerful. One angel slew 186,000, I think it was Assyrians, but 186,000 enemy soldiers one time when they cried out to God. And so here in Numbers, they cried out, and God can use angels if he wants to. Again, God can send a miracle in your behalf on an occasion when it's needed. He has that power. Deuteronomy 26 and verse 7. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and on our labor and on our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and with wonders. He performed miracles to get them out of Egypt. They cried out to him. That's why. Joshua 24 and verse 7. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, as he's telling the story, and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. You say, well, it'll take a miracle to work my situation out. It would take a miracle. I've heard that before. Then you come to the right place when you cry out to God, because he's a miracle-working God. If it takes a miracle, he's up to it. And he will work in your behalf just like he did for the children of Israel. What result? Another result. God raised up a leader to... Wow. For his people, when they cried out, he presented a leader. It says in Judges 3:9, and when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer. He's talking about Othniel in the book of Judges. Another result, God healed them when they cried out to him. Psalm 30 and verse 2, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Amazing that God can do these things when we cry out to him. I wonder if you've done that lately. Or have you just grinned and bared it? You just put up with it. Whatever it is. No. You have access. If you get desperate before God, you cry out to him. He can come on the scene. And he can help you in your trouble. Psalm 3:4 says, this crying out is sometimes vocal. In Hebrews 5:7, it says it can be accompanied by tears and strong crying. Luke 18:7 says sometimes we need to cry out day and night. One time won't be enough. But one thing is sure. When we're in trouble, God wants us to cry out. He's invited us to do it. Saints, don't be tardy in this. Don't be shy. God wants you to cry out to him. What situation you got going on in your life? And of everything that you've tried to solve it, you haven't cried out yet. He wants to solve it. Why don't you cry out? The crying out begin tonight. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Oh, we can be strengthened in our faith when we cry out, see God do some of these.